What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Put on H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
I'm Andy.
That's not how we do things here, Andy.
Well, I've shat all over the intro here.
My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the...
Very well, Terry, very well.
Are you?
Yes.
But... I too am well. Oh, God, I too.
What a disaster this is.
8:31. Okay. Call it time of death.
Well, it's only going up from here.
Yeah, that's it. That's the attitude.
And the bloody hell are you, Terry?
I am good. You know, it's another Wednesday. I'm here chatting with you.
Yeah, as per.
Kind of helps everything.
Eases the pain.
Yeah, as they say. I'm a Garnagle.
Well, have you been up to much?
I wanted to talk to you about this little... thing we were talking about on Twitter, and I want to dig into it a little bit, like, please. Your hatred of Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Terry, as a backstory, there's a thing on Twitter where it's like every two-person podcast has this dynamic, and it was
the poster for the excellent movie The Nice Guys.
Yeah, with Kurt Russell.
With Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling.
And I was like, which one am I?
I generously said you were Gosling because he's a bit more hapless in that movie.
Go on, say it.
I had the Russell Crowe energy from the poster. Yeah, you know?
And I was disappointed to be landed, to be tarred with the Ryan Gosling brush.
I'll take Gosling if you
want
to be Crowe.
I'll take Crowe all day.
It's just like me and Crowe, like. He's bigger build than me, but I'm a bigger build than you. So in comparison, Gosling is the smaller build to Crowe. Therefore, you're
Hold
the
on.
Smaller
Can
build
I go back
to me.
For a second? Did you just say you're a bigger build than me? Did you just
build?
Okay. Like build, like a headline act. No. I'm a bigger build than you. I'm the star of the show.
No, build. If anything, at this point, Gosling is the biggest star.
Really, really.
Yeah, but my shoulders in general.
I'll have a shoulder off with you any day of the week. The person.
Yeah, and you'll see, look at them there. Little bird shoulders. Narrow shoulders on you.
Terry, now, there's one thing I won't compete with you.
Big for a Cantwell.
That's thighs.
Big for a Cantwell. Look at these. Look at my shoulder.
Well, you're closer to the camera than me. Now, they look a lot worse there that you've leaned back.
How dare you?
Anyway.
Bigger calves. Bigger belly.
The calves,
sure.
Terry, your calves are bigger than my thighs.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You got a problem with that?
Yeah. But I want to dig into like why you
I don't
dislike
get it.
Him,
I don't
so.
Get it. I don't think he's... particularly attractive, and you know I have no problem saying men are attractive. I don't find him particularly attractive. I don't find him interesting at all. I think he's incredibly boring, and he's just got a real worm-like quality to him.
Can I ask you, how many movies have you seen him in?
Zero.
Great. Okay.
I mean, I might have seen... No, hold on. Let's get real here.
Yeah, let's, like I say, right. Dig in.
Gosling as well. Give me a break.
It's his name. Like he's like Cantwell. More like
Toner.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Got a problem.
What's he got here? Nothing. He was in Flash Forward.
When he was a kid, maybe?
Scott Stuckey was his name. Well, this changes everything.
What's Flash Forward when it's at home?
1996, the Disney Channel original.
He was part of the Mickey Mouse Club. Him and JT and Britters.
Oh, no way. Flash Forward, what a great show that was, I think.
I don't remember that at all.
I remember it being a huge deal. I remember I would specifically wait for Flash Forward. It would be like, oh, Flash Forward's on tonight.
See, it's mad that, like, you're talking about this show and then, like, Teen Angel, yeah, which I know if you watch it now, you're like, this is hilarious. That was, like, up there with, like, Keenan and Kel.
They're big words. They're fighting words, if anything.
What I mean is, like, in terms of, like, they're jokes that, like, in that show I shouldn't be laughing at. That is, like, they do a whole thing about like a Fantasy Island spoof, or like, you know, the teen angel transforms himself into like chess grandmaster Jose Capablanca.
Was that a Dan Schneider joint?
No, it's Al Jean and Mike Rice.
Oh, no way.
And I keep tweeting at them to see when Disney Plus is going to put it on.
I've seen the odd tweet.
They don't answer me.
But I'll keep tweeting.
I'll ask somebody else, maybe. They'll get onto them.
Well, listen, I was watching a movie that I think you would appreciate.
Ooh,
it was an oldie.
Two dish.
I watched 1977's... Care to finish the sentence for me? What do you think?
Apocalypse Now?
No. I'll just tell
you. Godfather 2?
No. It was...
Wait. Who's in it?
I get it now. Richard...
Don't give me the main guy. No, Jaws.
No.
Of Close Encounters?
Yeah.
Latter Day, or Latter Ranking Spielberg effort for me.
I thought it was shite.
I'm not mad at it. People love it.
Why do they love it? I don't understand. It's not even really about aliens. Like, it's... I mean, what I thought was interesting...
No, I mean, it's got daddy issues. You know, it's... That's Spielberg's MO, really.
Oh, like the whole absent father sort of character?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's in pretty much all his movies.
Huh. And how is it... What's his family life like?
It's same. That's it. Like, you know, his... I think his dad was an absent father. Like, it's littered throughout his filmography.
Art imitating life, you might say.
Yeah, I mean, they say write what you know.
Yeah.
Daddy, why did you leave, Daddy?
That's what I was thinking with the, like, in this movie, like, the woman's kid gets kidnapped. She barely mentions it for the rest of the movie. And then he leaves his family to go investigate this alien mound, like, wants to be taken aboard their ship and all this. Like, sorry, don't you have, like, daughters who are wondering where you are?
That's what I was like, spoiler for the film. It's just like, the end is like, well, I'll see you.
Yeah.
And he's gone. I'm like, okay.
I have to go now. They're planning to leave.
Goodbye. I'm like, okay. And I was just like, it's
definitely didn't need to be 2 hours, 20 minutes long as well.
No.
And 1977, 2 hours. That's like 8 hours our time.
Oh, you're some fucker. You know that? Like,
come on.
What spurred you on to look at that?
I'm actually into older movies these days. And I like the slow conversational sort of breathing that it lets the movie sort of do. I've seen clips, because in that thing I saw Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, they mentioned it, and they mentioned that there was actually a consultant working on Close Encounters of the Third Kind. This could all be bollocks, but Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and it looked very real, very... Why you?
It's like that flashing red light there. Like, speed it up.
Go on, let's get it over with. Jesus, can't even open it. What? It is open.
I just opened it there.
Where's the snap? Where's the? Pst?
It was there. You'll hear it on the record now.
What is it? What is that?
It is a McGargles Sammy's Citra Extra Pale. A hoppy extra pale ale.
Hoppy extra pale. You gotta drink it for me. McGargle.
I fucking love McGargles, I have to say. They're a go-to beer for me. They're just... they're very dependable. You know what I mean?
Not really.
I'm never disappointed with them. If you look at the can, you might mistake it for a can of Diet 7-Up.
I kind of thought it was a can of Diet 7-Up. Who's that in the front? Some broad?
Sammy. That's Sammy. Right. Yeah, some broad. Here's to you.
And to you. I've got my diet, my... No, now, Terry, it's not exactly a Coke Zero. It's a new Coke. No, zero sugar. New taste, it says.
Wait a minute. What?
I know, look
at
that.
It's not Coke. It's
all
not
red
Coke
can
Zero.
With the black writing. I think you'll agree, it's delightfully dangerous.
It's not Coke Zero?
No, I think it's just Coke, but with zero sugar. So essentially, Coke Zero.
Because you know there's like a Coke Zero with like zero caffeine or caffeine-free as well.
I don't think there is. I think there is caffeine in Coke Zero.
That's what I mean. You can get one that's caffeine-free.
Oh, right. Never seen it.
because I always thought it was both of them. And then when I looked at it, it has to say caffeine free on it. Otherwise, I got no jolt. I mean, I'm not complaining.
I'm drinking it for the jolt.
Yeah. If I want a jolt, I go to Lucozade. Although it's not the clear. Same. I can't get it anywhere. It must be taken off the market. Those stupid motherfuckers. Those you stupid motherfuckers.
Look,
to quote Al Pacino in The Irishman.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Brilliant, actually.
You stupid motherfuckers.
Anyway, that's... the only other thing that's been going on with me is that I had the dog now for over a week.
Yeah.
He shat literally where I'm sitting right now the other day.
Yeah, good boy, buddy.
Runny as hell.
My dog, my buddy.
But him and Arlo are getting closer. They were in the same room today. But now, Arlo's kind of, got to the stage now where the first few days she was like, what is this? I don't like this. And now she's like, I can take this guy. And she's strutting around. I almost preferred it when she was a bit scared, because now she's like,
taking look liberties.
It's weird because you've these two animals who look so similar, little black and white furballs, but one could fucking murder the other one.
What type of dog is Buddy?
A collie.
Ah.
Good old sheep dog.
Mm.
Now it's got to get
gonna grow to be that size.
Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
Anyway, I'll deal with that problem when I get to it. How's things with you anyway? What's been going on?
Yeah, all good. You know, same old, same old. Although it was lovely at the weekend. Got out for a few walks.
Beautiful.
That was great. Down to the old seafront really helps the soul, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was terribly, terribly busy.
Well, this is the thing, Terry. This is it, because it's the people have nowhere to go. They're all just outside. Everywhere's closed.
Look, I'd rather.
I don't want to. I don't want to either.
You in town on Saturday marching, will you?
Oh, God.
You and your cronies.
This fucking world.
Huh? I know, right?
Jesus, let me off.
I have to go now.
Yeah, we were at the beach ourselves, but it was lovely. It was a lovely weekend. It kind of reminded me of life.
Ah, that's nice.
You know?
Hmm. What did I do? Oh, I'll tell you what. I watched at the weekend. Remember I was telling you I was watching Gangs of London?
Definitely.
Do you actually remember? Yeah.
Yep.
So, and I was telling you, the last episode I watched was like one that I was like, yeah, this is okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then last 10 minutes, I was like...
You were reeling, as I recall.
I was like, fucking hell. So I watched the next episode, and it was like, after that blockbuster ending, it was like two kind of side characters that had important parts in the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
It was just like focused on them. And I was like, where's all the main characters? Where's everybody? Like, and it's basically like they've been on the run or whatever. They're in like, I think it's Wales, a different part. And it's like, it's just them in the country for the whole episode. And I was like, oh, right. Like, you know, whatever. And like all these new characters are introduced. These like, I don't know if they're Swedish or Danish people. And I was like, who are these guys? Like, they look dangerous, but like I've no context for them. And about 20 minutes into the episode, it turns into like the fucking best action movie I've seen all year. Like, it literally, because they're in the countryside, these kind of European people kind of take over. They're hunting the two characters essentially at the start. Like, and they kind
of
take
it. What's it called? Gangs of London?
Gangs of London. And it's episode 5. But it was like, they take over this the town essentially, and it's like where the characters are hiding out, or this like is this giant manor house in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it turns into like a siege movie.
Huh.
Where literally these assault team are surrounding the house in the middle of nowhere, and our characters are barricaded inside, and it's directed by the guy who did The Raid, and it's fucking excellent. I couldn't believe what I was watching, and I almost got angry at how good a story idea it is. Like, literally, like, you're talking like Die Hard or something in the middle of nowhere in the countryside, and it was fucking excellent.
Brilliant.
I couldn't believe it. So,
Terry, you've charmed me. I think
I'm itching to get into it.
I want to watch that, Terry. Did you say it's on Sky?
It's on Sky, yeah.
All right. I'll play your little game.
It's Sky Atlantic, I think.
Brilliant. That actually does sound deadly.
I couldn't believe, and I was sitting there, I was like gobsmacked at like how good, just in terms of a writing perspective, I was like, fucking hell. Like, how has nobody done this before as well? Like, yeah. Well, if they have, they haven't done it nearly as well. Like,
interesting.
It made that first 20 minutes, when they flipped the switch, I was like, everything makes sense now. You know what I mean?
Nice. I like
I've also been watching on Disney Plus, Star, yeah. whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There's a little show called Terriers.
All right. Animated?
It's a one, no, no. It's a one-season wonder. It's cancelled after the first season. How but they can always,
you get into a show that you know ends after one season?
Because...
What's the I point? Wanna,
well, like, they talk about it as being this, like, white whale of, like, should never have been cancelled TV okay. shows, you know? It's, like, the best one-season... One of the best one-season shows ever.
Right.
And, like, I'm really digging it. It's right in my wheelhouse, you know? It's a guy who is... How would you say, a scummy private detective, and his partner is an ex-con, you know, yeah. so they're quite the pair.
I might say the original odd couple.
Yeah, the main guy is, do you know who Donald Logue is?
Absolutely not, but let me Google it.
Grounded for Life, ring any bells?
Yes.
He's the dad from Grounded for Life.
Donald Logue, Grounded for Life. that's a great guy. I love that guy.
He's great, like, and he's great in it. And it's, you know, it's got a bit of a mystery, and you know, it's a good, very good show. You okay. know,
well,
I'm kind of like you say, now I'm into it, and now like I can't believe I've only four episodes left.
Well, that's it.
It's the heartbreaking.
I want good closure. I don't want a show to end before they're ready. I want them to have the time to tell me their story from start to end. I could never. I appreciate you. We're from two different worlds, though. But
we're
I
two
I,
different worlds.
I would never be able to start something. I'd be like, pass. Unless it's got at least three seasons. And
it's got.
On the other side, if I see something on Netflix that has like five seasons deep, but I've never heard of it, I'm like, well, that can't be good. So it works the opposite true. Way too. Yeah. Like season 7. We haven't even heard of this show. But okay.
I would say, if you're out there, if you have Disney Plus, give it. If you like kind of mystery, you know, detective stories, it's one of the better ones I've come across.
Okay. Well, personally, if I can say personally, I'm not going to check that out. But the first one, Gangs of London, I am actually going to watch.
Gangs of London, really good. Really, and it's really high production values.
It looks like just from the stills, to be honest.
One last thing I was watching. I was in the humour for a sort of a heist kind of
A heist movie.
Yeah. And there's this one on Amazon Prime, a little known movie, well, to me anyway, 1992's Sneakers, starring Robert Redford.
Went to see it in the cinema with my mum.
No, you didn't.
When I was
did
seven.
You?
Yeah, I did. Because I was going to go and see something else. And there was no tickets or something. So the only thing that was playing at that time, and we had gone all the way to the UCI in Coolock. And it was like, well, there's this movie. And I was like, okay. It was like, boring as hell.
I can't imagine it has any appeal to a 7-year-old. That's so mad.
I know.
I kind of really enjoyed this as well. Like,
yeah? But I appreciate it now?
It's very 90s, and it's kind of dad 90s.
Yes.
Though, like, but like very little like action. Like one of the main set pieces is he literally has to sneak and walk really slowly through a room to get a briefcase, and then they're like on the comms, it's like, speed up. He's like, that's literally the one thing I can't do. And it's like, oh, you know, but it's not like Mission Impossible 1 where he's hanging in midair trying to hack, yeah. and the guy's coming back from the toilet. Like, it's not
nothing like that for
it doesn't
sneaking,
but yeah, exactly. But I thought it was pretty good. It was something a little bit different. Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, I think that was
too annoying.
I think it's because Dan Aykroyd was in it, and I was a big Ghostbusters fan.
Yeah, it's him trying to get a bit serious, but he's still kind of the comic relief. He's the guy, the conspiracy guy of the team.
I like this. I'm into this now.
It's not terrible. It has, I don't know, if I say David Strathairn to you, it'll go over your head.
No, I know.
Oh, you know who he is, right?
David Strathairn. Where did these names come from? I'm certain that you're making them up.
I'm not making them up.
Strathairn. That's not a name.
I might be pronouncing it 100%.
David, you know, Strathairn. Right?
Yes.
No, I doubt that's it. But I know. I know the guy now. His face. Yeah.
There's a scene in it where he is, like, his character is blind, first of all, and it's like, at one point, they're like, we need you to drive the van, Whistler. And, like, he's like, I'll talk you through it. It's like, at one point, I was like, what is this? You know, like, it's like, and he has a big grin on his face, like, oh.
I'm
like,
driving.
Yeah, he's like, I'm doing it.
Oh, I see, he was in the Bourne Ultimatum.
Yes, this is Noah Vosen.
Noah Vosen?
And then, yeah, that's his character. Oh, and he answers the phone. He's like, this is Noah Vosen.
Great name.
And then Bourne uses that as, like, to hack in somewhere. A recording of him saying that.
What a great... Like, I forget. And, like, the Bourne trilogy is one that I always said is my favourite trilogy of movies.
It's so good.
But I haven't seen it in so long. But I remember it being fucking excellent.
I will say to you, do not see the fourth one.
So I hear.
It's fucking shite.
Here... Like, and... Can I ask you, sorry to interrupt, but did you see this Tom Cruise deepfake thing?
Which one?
There's a few of them.
Yeah.
It's like two or three.
Bill Hader one?
No, like someone, like it's Tom Cruise doing some magic trick with a coin. But like, it's not him, obviously, but yeah. It looks and sounds like flawless. Like, and a young Tom Cruise. Like, how do they do it?
It's, I don't know, like,
scary.
Apparently there's like all these apps and stuff you can get now to, like, yeah, deep faking is like a, you know,
even with that, whatever this is unbelievable technology.
They do one, if you look at like Bill Hader doing his impressions on Conan maybe, and yeah. It's like they deep fake it as he's doing the impressions. So I'd he's doing his Tom Cruise and I'm like, really? And you know, I was looking at it like, and I was like, what? Like,
he really looks like him here.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wow, like he scrunched his face, or like he's doing his Al Pacino, and then, and I'm like,
he is good.
Like, yeah, and then I was like, oh wait, like, oh, reality hits.
Now I'm gonna face stupid reality again.
Speaking
of stupid reality, Terry, can I talk to you about The Simpsons, please?
Surely you can.
More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the 24th episode of The Simpsons' 7th season, Homer Palooza?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just take a drink here before I read you some hot facts.
How hot are they?
They're so hot, Terry, that... No, I got nothing.
I'll call my agent so fast on a line that is so clear. Unlimited distance.
You'll think he was making a call from the other room. Anyway, it aired on May 19th, 1996. The title is a play on the Lollapalooza Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And was the last Simpsons episode written by Brent Forrester and the last one directed by Wes Archer.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Wes...
I know, we hardly knew ye. Peter Frampton, Sonic Youth, Cypress Hill and Smashing Pumpkins all guest starred themselves. Now, a little bit of backstory, Terry.
Yes, I love it.
The entire story of this episode was developed by David X, although it was written by Brent...
Z and it's all in the family. X, X.
Is that Exhibit
Bet you have that album. Yeah.
X, rearrange the whole game with my rugged sound. X. Yeah, Tony had it. I didn't have it. Tony had it.
Tony, you've been called out now. My secret shame. I remember the reviews being from my friends. He's not quite good enough to have his own album.
No,
but you'd want him on two or three of the songs on somebody else's album.
Because he was always on bangers on other rappers' albums, and they'd always be the best on their albums.
There's two on the Limp Bizkit. Oh, no, there's one. He's on one. I think it's Get Your Groove On.
Oh, yeah.
Is the one on Chocolate Starfish, which is a fucking banger.
Mm.
And then I was also thinking of the Rolling Urban Assault Vehicle. Of course.
Now, see, when I think of Exhibit featuring, I think of him on Bitch Please, Snoop Dogg, on Snoop Dogg. And to a lesser extent, Bitch Please 2 on Eminem's Marshall Mathers LP.
I remember that one. You were a big Snoobaloop guy. I never went into that lane.
I was taken by him. Not literally. that'd be terrifying. Well, I remember when I first seen him on the still, I think I talked about it on the pod before, but when I seen him on the still DRE video, I was like, who the fuck is that? He looked so odd to me. I'd never seen anyone look and combine that voice with that look. I was like, this guy is terrifying.
He looks like the Predator at times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like with his hair.
He's got that long, like.
I'm not saying he has the claw mouth or whatever, but like.
I know what you mean.
The Predator before he takes the mask off.
But anyway, to research for this episode, Forrester went to one of the Lollapalooza concerts, which he thought would be a fun little perk, but ended up being a horrible experience. Several of the jokes in this episode are based on his experience. For example, cameras were being seized and thrown in the garbage, numerous advertisements, several sour-faced teens, a real freak show, and at one point a stranger approached Forrester and said, "How's it going, Narc?"
We'll get to it, but oh god.
I know. During Homer's confrontation with the Hullabalooza crowd, there's a brief shot of Homer with the members of No Doubt behind him. This is because Gwen Stefani's brother, Eric Stefani, who himself was a member of the band, was working as an animator on The Simpsons at the time and added them in.
Right, so he was a member of the band as well as being an animator?
I guess for a brief period, yeah. The writers were aiming to have artists that represented several genres. So they had hip-hop, Cypress Hill, alternative rock, Sonic Youth and Smashing Pumpkins, and a classic rock singer. Bob Dylan was sought for this role, but he was replaced by Peter Frampton, which I think is a huge...
Great choice.
Yes, a hugely great decision. Bob Dylan would have stunk up that role.
I just would have been so miserable, wouldn't he? And like,
It wouldn't have been funny. Like, Frampton was fucking funny in this one.
Like, as evidence of like Family Guy kind of repeating the trick, where it's like, get Peter Frampton to be in one of their most famous early episodes.
Yeah, yeah. But he was good for it, and I think he was in a few animated shows. Frampton,
He's very good in this.
Yeah, Billy Corgan impressed the production staff by doing a strong impersonation of Homer and Marge. But it was decided to not have him use it in the episode. Pearl Jam were asked to appear, but they declined.
Because they're a bunch of jerks.
Imagine, decline. Courtney Love and her band Hole were wanted for the episode, but they declined.
That's not surprising, though.
And according to the DVD commentary, an unnamed group said that if Courtney Love were in the episode, they would not be. It was later revealed that group was Sonic Youth.
Interesting that, like,
you know,
I'm never really into Sonic Youth.
I was into the Smashing Pumpkins, all right, but I was never.
Well, Smashing Pumpkins are in. How would I say, objectively, a better band? Like,
although I couldn't tell you one Sonic Youth song, but I do remember thinking that they always seemed like a cool band. I just didn't get, you know what I mean? When I was a kid, they always seemed like. Like, oh, Sonic Youth. Like, if someone likes Sonic Youth, they must be really cool.
I always remember, it's a film that hasn't aged very well for me, but, like, Juno.
Oh, yeah.
Has, in my opinion, Sonic Youth dead to rights, where it's like Bateman plays, is it The Carpenters? Is it September?
Oh, yeah.
You know that song? Like, don't you remember?
Yeah.
But, like, it's their version of it, and it's like, I was like, whoa, really cool. And then I went and listened to more of their stuff, and I was like, no. And like in the film, like she's like, I listened to more Sonic Youth stuff. It sounded like, and I can't remember, but I remember like the actual line. I remember thinking, yes, like it sounded shite.
Would you have a comparison at all? Would they sound like, are they heavy? Are they soft? Are they like what are they like?
They're kind of a mix, like, you know, it's
just depression.
Yeah, it kind of just was like very dull and like,
yeah,
I don't know, it just was not for me at all. And I was like, at least it's something like Nine Inch Nails.
See, that was another one I never
got into them either, but they had angst, or they had, you know, certain, like, there was something about them, at least. I was like, well, it's not for me, but they're doing their own thing. Whereas Sonic Youth, I was like, ugh, like, what? Not even, like, I can't even respect it. Now, I might be going in very hard on them here, but that was, you know, fuck them.
I just, like, I wouldn't know any of their songs at all, but it always seemed cool to me, but I just didn't get it. I remember I must have listened, I think I might have actually caught an album of theirs, but I did not care for it. Now, Courtney, it was thought that Courtney Love would appear in the episode because she had done a film with James L. Brooks, but she never responded to the request. Love was wanted specifically for one joke, which would be an exchange between her and Homer, and the line was going to be, Courtney Love says, "Hi Homer, I'm a big fan, Courtney Love," and he was going to say, "Homer grateful." But she didn't appear, so the joke was reworded for Billy Corgan when he says, smiling politely.
Couldn't have gone better.
Yeah, right.
It could not have gone better. Like, that whole Smashing Pumpkins, smiling politely, is fucking deadly.
It's a better joke as well.
Yeah, 100%.
It finished...
I'm just looking up something here.
Yes?
The James L. Brooks film that she was in, Courtney Love. Do you have it off the top of your head?
No. Do you?
I'm looking at it here, and, you know...
Courtney Love, James L... you're James Brooks. As good as it gets.
I mean, no.
Oh, she turned it down. Love Child. Love Child. That's what it is. 95.
I don't see it here.
June 95. And the last thing is, it got a Nielsen rating of 7.8, approximately 7.5 million viewing households. And was the third highest rated show on Fox that week. So there you go. You're still looking, you're still researching Courtney Love?
I don't see it here on her IMDb.
Don't worry about it. I found it for you.
I don't know.
This episode was listed. I'm just going to crack on with the,
the pod.
It was listed in a lot of people's top ever Simpsons episodes, or up there. TV Guide listed it in its top 12 ever episodes. Consequence of Sound ranked it the third greatest episodes on their list of top 30 Simpsons episodes. And BBC called it one of the most memorable episodes, if not one of the greatest. The satire on youth counterculture is well handled, and Homer's flashback to his youth is fabulous.
I remember Sky did like a top 5 Simpsons. You know, I think it was after that season ended, so after like the next episode.
Yeah.
They did like a top 5 or whatever, top 10 maybe. But like, this was like their number 2 or something, and it had just aired like weeks earlier, and they had put it as their that high. And I remember thinking to myself, like, that's crazy. How could they put a new one so high on the list? Like,
well, should we get into it, Terry?
Yes, please. So, do you want to start off with your notes?
I would love to. I'm going to take another sip of my Coke Zero here first.
Cheers.
Enter you. I think I just appreciated the start of, like, the fact that it's auto accepting an award for doing the exact opposite of what he's asleep at the wheel doing, like, for a safety award or whatever it is. And then the fact that, like, Milhouse is like, Otto, wake up.
Well, like, what I love about it is that, like, it's a real cold open, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're just getting Otto at an award ceremony. The fact that it's Otto, like, such a, I don't know, I mean, he's had an episode or two dedicated to him this far in the series, but he's not used hugely, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Definitely. If he was an actor, he'd be like, am I on today? Like, yeah. No, okay, like, Grant, I'll come back, or whatever, like, you need me here.
He's perfect. He's perfect for this, though.
Oh, unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
And it was just like, I got a huge laugh when it actually stopped in the crusher. And we're and then it's just like, and they're like, ah! I don't know why. I just started pissing myself laughing. Like, when they're running back towards it.
I was looking
for Uder. I didn't see him.
Oh, I never think to look. But yeah, Uder watch.
One of us has to. Thankfully he's alive. That's all I'm
worried about. We know. That's all we need to know. I like the whole dynamic of now again, if I'm skipping ahead, stop me, Terry, but I like the whole dynamic of Homer in the car with the kids.
Like, before we get to that.
Yeah, go on.
Like, because I do, like, I think it's great. I was like smiling politely instantly. But I do love the whole thing with Marge reading the letter. It's like, by reading this letter out loud, you have waived any legal responsibility on our part in perpetuity throughout the universe.
I have to say, Marge in this episode gave me the biggest laugh.
Marge was killed in this episode again. Yeah. Like the fucking stealth bomber that she's been all season.
That's it. She's the stealth bomber. Yeah. It's like there's a line that she says later on that, like, I was full on laughing at. And it's not even necessarily like a funny line. It's just the way she delivered it and the animation. It was just perfect. But yeah, and then so you have Homer has to carpool all the kids. I just love the whole dynamic.
Jive.
They're all, he's like, you got to sass it. And it's
what
a classic.
He's like, I see them with jive on their t-shirts these days.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I can teach you how you're supposed to say jive. He's really like his grandpa.
Yeah.
You know? Like he's and turning into grandpa.
It's the classic dad. Yeah, he is, isn't he, turning into grandpa? It's the classic dad, though, of like forcing their tastes on their kids. You know what I mean? Like the classic, like, back in my day, blah, 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 blah.
I'm like that now.
Yeah. I'm like, you want to listen to the Beatles, do you?
Yeah. KFSL Fossil 103 is fucking deadly. Like,
now, can I say as well, what a tune Mississippi Queen is.
Oh, yes.
When they were playing that. He's dead right about that one. That is absolute. I think that was on like Guitar Hero or something, or Rock Band. Did you play that one with me?
Ever played Beatles with you.
I think I had one on the Wii or something that I played with Tony, but Mississippi Queen, I was like, that's how I first heard of it.
I actually went on a bit of a Grand Funk like wormhole after watching this episode.
Oh yeah, and how are they?
Yeah, they're good. Like, you know, it's kind of that 70s psychedelic.
Is it psychedelic,
Well, you know what I mean, psychedelic, but like something...
That kind of struck me as like a bit of M.O.R., as they say, a bit middle of the road.
But they do have those, I don't know, like when the guitars start, you know, just they're soloing and taking the mind of their own kind of thing, like, you know.
They're like a jamming band sort of thing?
Yeah, kind of, they seem that way. Like, they're not exactly, like when you say M.O.R., I think of like B.T.O.
Back to...
Bachman Turner Overdrive. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Baby, you just ain't seen nothing
yet. Or like Blood, Sweat and Tears. Like those ones for me would be M.O.R. bands, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah, very.
The next note I have is just an appreciation of the store called Suicide Notes, or the record store. What was it previously called? Good Vibrations?
Good Vibrations,
No, it's called Suicide Notes.
Can we just go back to Homer in the car for a second, where he's like, Grand Funk Railroad paved the way for Jefferson Airplane, which cleared the way for Jefferson Starship. Now, the stage was set for the Alan Parsons Project, which I believe was some sort of hovercraft. It's just like...
I did have a little laugh as well, where Bart's like, nobody gives a crap about your stupid dinosaur beds.
I was like, oh, poor Homer, but also, like, it was...
He kind of had it coming. Yeah, but like his heart's in the right place.
I'm really feeling Homer in this episode. Yeah. Where I'm like, yes, Homer. Yes, he's full, face. I agree with everything you're saying.
He's 100%. Full dad mode in this.
Yeah.
You know.
But I was a dad before I was a dad. Like I would have been in my 20s. I'm like, yeah, Homer, you're the man. Even where he's like going on about the US Festival, the what festival? You know, the US Festival. This is the only part that aged. Where he's like,
I didn't even ever even heard of the US Festival.
No, but like it was sponsored by that guy from Apple Computers. Like,
oh yeah,
what computers?
That was, I think they were going sort of bust at that time. Apparently,
yeah, that was this is before the Renaissance.
Yeah,
this was. I don't know if Jobs was in charge yet.
I think Steve Wozniak was in charge at this point. I read when I was researching.
Yeah, but because I know there was a period where Jobs was in charge and they were doing terribly, and then he came back. And like launched them to fucking superstardom.
The iPod. How mental.
How mental that like changed the world.
Changed. Yeah.
You know, like
basically.
It really did. Like.
And I was initially, when the iPods and the Zens and all that came out, I still wanted a physical copy. You know what I mean? Mm. It took me a long time to adapt to the whole.
Me too.
Streaming. Thing. I liked the physical. I liked the discs.
They never got my, you know, track listing right or whatever like that. Like,
I was very meticulous about it.
Me too. It was like,
You know, it's like, no, this one doesn't have capital letters at the start of the title, so yeah, this one's not going to be all lowercase. Yeah. You know, that sort of
just
stuff
would frustrate me looking at him, like, if I have
untitled,
if I create my mini disc, like, you know, I can put my own text on it. Like,
they were
the mini disc.
I love mini discs. Very short lived.
They were. I had to use them in college in our first couple of years. There was just no for recording on the street. Like, you know, you'd have to go out and do what they call vox pops.
Ooh.
Or you'd go and be like, hi, can I ask you a question? Blah, blah, blah.
Brilliant.
I remember, like, I was working as an intern, as you would say. It was work experience.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like, I think they were just trying to get me to do some busy work. And it was like, will you go and, like, ask people? They couldn't actually get the mini disc player was broken. So it was like, you had to go and ask people, should we wear poppies? Should Irish people wear poppies? Right. And it was raining and, like, nobody wanted to stop for me. So, like, I just went to the train station, the Pier Street train station, and, like, just, like, got a load of people that were, like, also waiting there to, like, nice, yes, no, whatever like that. Like,
and I came back. We got the shot.
It was like that's very quick, wasn't it? I just went to the train station and I got it, and they were like, okay.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, totally.
You're not getting people who are trying to get out of the rain. Like, they're just waiting.
They're just what else stood there like, okay.
It's actually quite a genius move, if I may say.
I mean, you know.
Now, did you notice that when he's on the street, like, all the shops behind Homer just say, like, grocery, thrift store. I didn't know if it was a deliberate, or if it was on purpose, but, like, the names were just all, like, really, really basic names.
They normally put so much effort into it.
Yeah, like, and it seemed like they were, because they were very visible behind them, it seemed like they would have, it was some sort of joke that maybe I didn't get, but I don't know. I didn't know if you'd picked up on that.
Homer's flashback, I thought, was quite good.
That's great, isn't it?
Now,
always like that joke.
I love that song as well, like,
what song is it again?
It's like Frankenstein, I think, is the name of it. It's like... Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's Frankenstein or...
I know that one, though, yeah. I know that riff. Just the whole strobe light effect is just brilliant. It's actually... Yeah. It's a really well-done joke.
So good.
Like, he's just going over bit by bit with each strobe light. And then the fact that he's just... As soon as the next strobe light hits after they're angry, he's just back. Yeah. Like a million bases.
And like... Just like the guys, like, quadraphonic sound, a waterbed, and now a strobe light. Gentlemen, say hello to the second bass mobile. Oh, and it's Frankenstein is the name of the song.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Still like a Dazed and Confused reference in that guy.
It was actually on the Dazed and Confused soundtrack as well.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. What a soundtrack.
The double soundtrack is fucking amazing.
Yeah. I discovered so many tunes from that.
The one that I always was like, because I had the first soundtrack, you know, one disc, and the one that wasn't on it was Free Ride.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And again, like that moment in the movie where it's just panning. That was actually one of my favorite memories. Is like when we were up in my house in Balldoyle and we were like watching Dazed and Confused. Yeah. And like, was it like, what was the name of that stuff? Spice
Diamond.
Yeah.
Spice Gold, to a lesser extent. And do you remember, like, that year when there was about 1,000 head shops opened up in Dublin?
And there was the biggest drought of like weed ever. Yeah. Like, so
Spice Diamond.
Yeah. But it's mad actually how they got rid of those head shops as well.
So like, quick. It was so dodge, I think.
But there was also, something like, going on. There was one in Clontarf, and it got smashed in.
Really?
Like 2 days after it was open, because they didn't want it in the area. Like,
no way. Clontarf's capable of that.
Yeah, I guess, but it was like...
It's like perfect town.
Yeah, that's D3. What you think. It was a seedy underbelly.
I think of this next line all the time, the whole Abe where he's like, I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. And now what's it is... I don't know the exact it's like, line.
It's weird and scary to me.
Yeah. I think of that all the time. Like, I used to be with it, then they changed what it was. Like, so true.
It'll happen to you. I just love the whole Homer and Barney's like, you make me feel like dancing. I want to dance the night away. It's called rocking out. Try it sometime.
I love teenage Homer as well.
Yeah, the hair.
Know? Yeah,
the
exactly. Hair. It's, I love haired Homer. Mm. Now, the next one of the things I laughed at with Marge when Homer is like giving out that he's not with it, whatever. It's just the line where Marge is like, "It's like it doesn't bother me." She's like, "Music is none of my business."
I think it was like as soon as she started saying like record stores have always seemed crazy to me,
yeah,
but it doesn't upset me, and then like that last line, oh, so good. Was that the one you were talking about? The yeah. Big laugh. Yeah.
No, that actually wasn't the one, but that's one of the music. That's A1. None of yeah. my business.
She's been great at being the straight man this year.
Yeah, you know? Really good. This season's given me a newfound appreciation for her. The next
Homer bringing them to. Sorry, I'm stepping on your notes here, but I just loved Homer bringing them, and like he drives past Milhouse, and they're like, "You forgot Milhouse?" Like, did I?
Yeah.
Like, fetch me my brain medicine.
Yeah.
And it's like it's such a like fun thing.
Yeah, you know, fun like, reveal.
Yeah, that like imagine being in that situation. Like you're supposed to be going to school, and your dad's like, "We're going to Slane."
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Like, yeah.
I like the fact that it's classic Homer. Like, he didn't call to arrange different plans for the other kids. He just drives past Milhouse. Fuck him.
I'm okay today. I have deodorant.
Then the next note I have, again, if I'm going too far ahead, tell me, but where it's like Cypress Hill are on, and they're like, "If the child is not claimed in the next hour, it will become property of Blockbuster Entertainment."
Yeah.
Like, throw your set in the air.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
Yeah, like, there's a few bits before that where, like, it's those gags we talked about. They kind of stuck me, like, after years of going to EP, like, 5-6 years in a row.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, they take his homemade Kahlua off him.
Yeah. My homemade Kahlua.
Yeah. I love that Kahlua. Yeah. But then, yeah, like, they get the freak show.
Yeah, and I just have, the next note is I used to love Smashing Pumpkins. Now, I say that, I used to love the Smashing Pumpkins' greatest hits. Tony was bigger into them. He had, like, that double album, Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness. And a few other ones that kind of had all their big hits on it, but the greatest hits, I remember for a good couple of years, I was very much into.
Have you a favorite of that greatest hits?
I quite liked the song they were actually playing in The Simpsons, Zero.
All right,
wanna go for a ride. But they had a few, just like Tonight Tonight's great. Fucking
Tonight is great. What's that one? The Killer and Me.
Yeah.
The Killer and You.
That's not like the first song I learned how to play chord-wise.
Is it? Yeah. What's it called? It's like...
It's not Triumph
or something. It's it's a one word.
Desire? No.
Maybe it's...
Disarm.
Disarm.
Disarm you with a smile.
It's a great one. That's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, they're great.
But like, you know, 1979.
Yeah. I was actually thinking after watching this episode, I was like, God, I must listen to that Greatest Hits again. Like,
I remember we listened to it one games night, me, you and Andy Ryan, and it was like, you know,
I don't know if it's got games night.
No, that's the thing, it was late on the games night, and then like after they kind of played, after the first two or three big ones,
that's like, alright,
it was a few ones that I was like, oh yeah, no, like I need something.
I'll tell you what the games night music needs more. It's the music for the games nights is more Poker on a Riverboat sort of vibe. It's not the Smashing Pumpkins hard rock vibe.
What I love to do, because I remember it was when we would especially be playing when we're really high, was like have an instrumental track. So like some Rodrigo and Gabriella, like din, 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 din. You're like, oh, it's just getting so intense. Like,
yeah, there used to be proper reactions to those tunes when
like, I remember what was the one I had one, I think it was like off like Wes Anderson, you know, I think there was stuff off the Life Aquatic. I remember like playing with Sean Harnett, And it was like, we were like 2-0 down. And like, as soon as it went down, as soon as it came on and we'd gone 2 down, I was like, all right, Shawnee, this is it now. We're getting back into it. Hear the music. Ended up winning 3-2. It was like, I was so into it. Like,
I love that when a song coincides with good form.
100%. Like, yeah.
Very good. Anyway, great what times. Else?
Remember being able to see people?
Yeah, kind of.
the before times.
Do people still laugh out there?
The long, long ago.
The big laugh for me, I don't even know if this will translate, but it's just where Homer wants to join the freak show, and just the way the camera cuts, it's like Marge looking away with a frown.
100% agree.
It's like, so you want to go on tour with a traveling freak show?
I almost thought, when I want to go back to some of the things that happened before that, but like when Marge says that, I was like, is she this audience surrogate for this episode? Yeah. Where it's like, that's okay, crazy. We're back to this again, are we? Yeah. Like, you know,
like all of a sudden the absurdity. I think that's what made me laugh the most is like when you go completely out of context, like the absurdity.
When you say it out loud, of course it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But just I want to go back to like Homer buying the Rastafarian hat.
Oh yeah, of course.
And then the whole like. You can't wear that. It's a statement to reggae music. Like, well, excuse.
Yeah.
It's like, he's just so, like, uncool.
I know. It's like, where's the narc?
Yeah, that thing. He's like, what's going on? Like, you know, he's just like.
He genuinely doesn't know.
Like, good concert, am I right? Nice try, narc. Who's a narc? Who? That fat Jamaican guy. Like, I was just like, what's going on? What did I say?
I know, for Homer.
Why do you want to destroy us? Like, hey, crime! and then, like, he gets crowd surfed away, and he's on the outside again. Like, and it is sad. Like,
poor Homer, he's so out of touch. Like,
he's like,
I have a note here now. Again, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but when Frampton is there and he plays that chord, and Homer's like. Just like vibrates off the stage.
That's good.
Great animation. Like that got a big laugh from the two of us actually watching it.
And even like just like when Homer, the gag of Homer getting the pig to the gut, and then he's like, "Oh man, Frampton's gonna be pissed."
Yeah,
you know, that's his big finale. You're damn right. I'm gonna be pissed off. I bought that pig at Pink Floyd's garage sale.
Frampton was great in this. Frampton gave me a few laughs. It sounded a lot like Graham Nash to me. I don't know.
100% I was thinking that. It's too late.
Fucking late. fuck you. folks, if you want a treat, just look at the Crosby, Stills and Nash backstory and why they're not talking anymore. One of the worst jokes, and the writers and producers agree with this statement, I would say one of the worst jokes of this series, if possibly not the whole show, was when Homer is at the vet, because the guy's like, nothing concerns me more than the health of my freaks. I'm sending you to a vet.
Well, this guy is
a great voice.
I want to go back to him just where he introduced himself. And he's like, I run Hollowloser's pageant of the transmundane, the freak show. I have been looking for a big fatso to shoot with a cannon. I'd very much like for you to be that fatso. Just the term fatso.
Like he's so unashamed. Like he's kind of insulting him, but he doesn't even care.
Just the way they have him look is great as well.
Yeah, the ponytail is a great touch.
You know.
But so he sends Homer off to the vet, and the vet's like basically saying, "If you take one more shot, you could die."
Mm.
And Homer's like, "Dying would be a stone groove." Got any messages for Hendrix? He's like, yes, pick up your puppy. And it's Rover Hendrick. I mean, it's one of the worst gags. And I seen it, in my note here, I just have Rover Hendrick's boo. But I seen on Wikipedia, the writers and producers all agree that that's one of the worst jokes in the show's history.
I kind of like it.
Did you? I was like, boo.
I've always liked it. I don't know, it's just the idea of the... I was like, that poor dog. He's like, oh. He's been waiting there that whole time.
Rover Hendrix.
Yeah.
The vet in Springfield.
Yeah, okay. But they're not in Springfield. That's the thing. He's on tour.
Still.
You know? Yeah, I know. The likelihood of him having Jimi Hendrix's puppy.
But I did. The next note was just that I love that Homer is trying to keep, like, when he sees Bart is being so nice to him, just so not like Bart. And he's like, my dad's the greatest. He sees his little thing, his little report.
Very much spoke to me. Yeah. That I was like, oh, God.
Like, you want some pie? Like, just being so nice to him at home. It's just like, oh, my son finally looks up to me.
Yeah. It's like, and again, this is what you want Homer to be. You don't want him to be the jackass that he was last episode. You want him, you want to like Homer. We like Homer. Like, we want to like Homer.
Exactly.
You know?
So, and like, it seems like he's genuinely torn because he genuinely, like, especially the fact that the big show is going to be in Springfield, like, prove so many people wrong.
Exactly.
Make be a hero to his kid, but then might die. And, like, just, it seemed like it was a genuine sort of dilemma in his world.
So, like, I want to talk about the teens before, like, and I was like, oh, here comes that cannonball guy. He's cool. He's like,
Are you being sarcastic, dude?
I don't even know anymore. And like, yes, very, very good depiction of like,
I still feel like that sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. And then, I don't know why, I got a big laugh where it was like, they're like, clear the way.
Performer coming through.
Yeah, and it was like, last time I got to go backstage was the school play where Bart ripped his pants. And then like, I don't know who he's supposed to be. He looks like Cypress Hill.
Your man, the guy from Cypress Hill,
Like, ha ha. Yeah. I don't know why. I just found it really, really funny. Like,
but also when the London, I got a London Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, I love it.
Hello, bands. Who is playing with the London Symphony Orchestra? Come on, people. Somebody order the London Symphony Orchestra. Possibly while high. Cypress Hill, I'm looking in your direction.
Hey, man, did we order an orchestra?
What's up with this orchestra, man?
Where'd the orchestra come from?
I don't know, man.
They didn't tell me about this, man. We gotta do something.
Yeah, we think we did. Do you know Insane in the Brain?
We mostly know classical, but we could give it a shot.
But the man's face.
It's the voice, though. He's like, we mostly know classical.
And his face, like...
The joke, that makes the joke, is that they're playing and it's actually good, but they're frowning, like, along, like, they don't like it.
And, like, Marge being like, now this I like. Like, yeah, I like it too, Marge.
Oh, brilliant.
The worst part of the episode, I thought, was Burns and Smithers.
Burns and Smithers.
Where it was like, you don't even remember it. No. Where it was like, to think, Smithers, you laugh when I bought Ticketmaster. Nobody's going to pay 100% service charge. And it's like, well, it's a policy that ensures a healthy mix of the rich and ignorant, sir. And then that's it. And it's like, what a slam on Ticketmaster. Like, you know, I was like, I don't need it. You know,
needless.
It doesn't add anything to it. Like,
and they cut out Billy Corgan's impression of Marge and Homer to have that joke in.
Well, you don't know that directly.
Well, there's a huge amount of middle ground in between those two.
Think about it.
I just have my next note is just Frampton is fucking great here.
Yeah.
Where he's going
do
through
you
the like,
feel?
Oh, come on.
Do you feel? God, Homer Simpson wrecks my pig, Cypress Hill steals my orchestra, and Sonic Youth's in my cooler. There, you kids. He's like, come on, Mr. Frampton, you're not going to eat all that watermelon.
He just goes off.
I'm trying to perform.
I'm trying to perform. And then even like, I suppose then it gets to Homer and the cannon. And
I love Marge here as well. Like, cannons are designed to hurt.
Yeah.
They're designed to hurt.
So he jumps out of the way and they're booing, but his family loves him. I like the fact that Marge like takes a sandwich out of Frampton's, like, oh, there might be one in this or whatever.
I love that writing where it's like, I thought I had an appetite for destruction, turns out I just wanted a club sandwich.
Yeah,
it's like, there might be one in here. It's like, no.
And when they're driving back, my last note here is just like, Lisa knows what's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I always used to think that, where she, all of a sudden, she's
shut
like...
up, Lisa.
She's like the gospel on what's cool. Like, Marge and Homer are more cool than Lisa.
The next episode literally...
Yeah.
...disputes that claim, like, you know? Well,
until the, at this point.
I wanted to talk about the guy, the man coming up to him. He's like, Homer, I'm sorry. There's nothing worse than a yellow-bellied freak. Unless that's his act. I expect your letter of resignation on my desk. It's like, you have a desk? I mean the hood of my car.
Yeah. Brilliant. And that's kind of the end. Like, it's,
I did like the end when they were driving off, and it was like, you know, they're basically Homer being like
trying to find out what is cool.
But like, Homer has figured it out, I think. You know. And it's like,
it's quite like a nice...
You don't need to be told you're cool. I love how Marge is so desperate. Marge is the one.
Yeah.
Huh? How the hell do you be cool?
Yeah. And then the fact that they just say, like, it's like...
How else would you know?
Yeah, how else would you know? It's a nice little ending there. But, yes. Should we get into the old ratings?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, pal.
Mm-hmm.
What's the score of the Man United match?
I'm not watching the Man United match.
Oh, get out of here.
Spare me.
I can tell. Your eyes light up like a Christmas tree when it comes on. I can read you like a book.
0-0. Okay, I just checked the score.
Please,
Andy. You think I'd be giving you that grade A content if I was watching the Man United game? Say it.
No. Okay.
All right. I'll give you that.
What did you think of it overall? I was interested to hear your thoughts on this one.
I really liked this episode. Okay. Really, really liked it. I was a bit, because you kind of put it out there last week. You were like, I don't remember it being as good, or, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, you had your reservations, shall we say. But I was delighted to say I could dispel them all within the first 5 minutes of this episode. I was like, you know what? Like, we never even talked about it, where it's like, now, when I really like a song, I'm nodding my head, like saying, Yes, this rocks.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll say, no, don't stop a rocking. Well, that's what I felt like as the episode went on.
Nodding approvingly.
A couple of bits you could, you know, take out. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good.
There's a lot of heart in it. A great story. Like, even if it is a bit fantastical, really, when you boil the story down to it, it's a father trying to prove he's cool to his kids or win their affection, whatever way you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
The celebrity cameos I thought were used perfectly as well. Like, they're really,
they were done really well.
Like, even like, you can go wrong very easy with having, like, you know,
that many,
and they're playing themselves, and it's like, it's very easy to go wrong. Like, you can see in the years gone forward, they have gone wrong very easily. Whereas the fact that they made them so banal, almost.
And plus, they didn't overuse them. They had a lot of characters, but they weren't the focal point.
Sprinkled in.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I thought it was great.
MVP, Terry?
I'm going to go with Homer.
Oh, okay.
Frampton is a very close second, but Homer.
Yeah. Okay. Can I push you for a rating, Terry?
You can, and you will, I know. But I'm going to give it a 9.
Oh.
I'm on cloud 9.
Just 9?
Yeah, 9.
Oh, okay.
Just 9. 9's good.
I know, I mean 9.0.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, well, I'd be inclined to agree with you. I enjoyed it. I wasn't delirious about it, but I enjoyed it. And it held up better than I thought.
That's what I was going to say. Did it exceed your initial thoughts? Or
it held up. It held up better than I thought. I thought it was going to be one of these sort of all over the place, not really...
It's not as wacky as you think. Like, that's it could very easily have gone very big and wacky, you know.
My MVP is Frampton. It was a toss up between Frampton and the Freak Show manager.
He's very good as hell.
But I would give it a rating of 8.6.
Wow. So
right in the meaty part of the curve, as they all are. Yeah, enjoyed it a lot. So there, one of the few ones that didn't let me down in the memory nice. Department, that, like so many others.
It's a nice, nice feeling.
Yes.
Yes.
Can we get our plugs in, Terry?
Sure. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find us online?
Great question, Terry. Thank you for asking. I'll write a 2-page essay on that for me tomorrow. You're a teacher in school. You used to all... You'd be afraid to ask a question because you'd be like, sir, why is it that blah, blah, blah? It's a good question. Find the answer for me tomorrow. Like, Jesus, I'm sorry I fucking asked. Sir. But you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at PutItInHPodcast. You'll find basically everything you need there. You'll find on our Instagram in particular, you'll find each week's latest episode. You'll find our other podcast, What's So Great About. You'll find our merch and you'll find our Patreon. Terry, why don't you tell the folks what they can expect over there on the Patreon?
Well, if you sign up for the low, low fee of $5 a month, you get a look into our Players Club, where you get 2 episodes of our sister podcast, What's So Great About, per month. So basically we take a topic and I try and tell Andy what's so great about a topic, or he's trying to tell me. So we've done a whole 23 episode arc on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it really is. Andy runs the gamut.
What a journey. I have to say that Marvel What's So Great About the MCU changed me as a person, fundamentally. I'm more open to things. I'm less cynical.
I don't think we'll ever get a starting point where you started in one definitive way.
I was here in the red and I'm all the way up into the green now.
The black, Andy.
Whatever. I don't know. It was a lot of fun to do. Right now we're doing What's So Great About the 90s, where I select my favorite 90s action movies, in the golden age of action movies, I might say.
See, I've always been an 80s man, and Andy is trying to open my eyes to some of the gems of the 90s. We've got Broken Arrow, True Lies, and Speed in the can already. Mm-hmm. Next up down the turnpike is Die Hard with a vengeance.
Yes.
I'm very much looking forward. Like, that one, I'll tell you right now.
We're both kind of like.
Yeah, I think so. Because now, I haven't watched it in a few years, but it was always Die Hard 1, amazing. Die Hard 2, like, it's weirder, Die Hard 2.
Right.
And then Die Hard with a vengeance. Never
seen Die Hard 2.
I mean, it's worth watching.
I've seen Die Hard with a Vengeance for at least 10 to 15 years was the only one I'd seen.
Maddening.
Like 3 maddening. Years ago.
And it's the best fucking action movie you'll ever see.
Like, I disagree. I think Die Hard with a Vengeance was clearly miles better than Die Hard 1.
Yeah.
A lot more going on. Anyway, we'll get to it.
I'm gonna say to you, when we're doing that episode, I'm leaving my Die Hard 1 baggage at the door.
Okay, great.
It on its merits.
Great.
Okay.
That's all I ask. Yeah. But yeah, you can basically find about 50 new episodes of us talking about random shit.
You get 4 a month. So we've got 2 What's So Great About, and then you get 2 other episodes that are... I don't know.
I feel like we spend too long talking about the Patreon at the end
this
of
is what
episodes.
This is what podcasts are. And okay. This is the business model.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry to you.
Yeah.
Sorry to you.
So the other episodes, they can range from anything. We're literally going to be recording a Players Club request this evening. The documentary Beyond the Mat, which I've a lot to talk about with that.
As do I.
Other stuff include, you know, there's lots of music based ones where Andy made me an emo playlist that I had to listen to. I'd made him, you know.
I want
to
do another one.
Yeah.
I do want it. To do another emo playlist. Yeah. Big time. Can we do it like fucking 2 weeks' time?
Yeah, no problem. You got it, little buddy.
Yes. Genuinely delighted.
You heard it here first, folks. Brilliant. But yeah, like we've
he
done.
He hates
where,
it as well, folks.
Yeah,
it'll
I do. I hate emo music. So you know, yeah, it's brilliant. It's due for some good listening. There's excellent. Loads of other stuff. We've done stuff on TV shows, like.
And Terry, sorry to interrupt you yet again for the 100th time on the podcast. By the way, that's something that I noticed when I listen back to the podcast. I'm like, I'm talking to myself and I'm like, you I interrupt you. I don't know how you have the patience. I interrupt you every 2 seconds on the podcast. Listening back, I'm just cursing myself.
As long as we don't talk literally over each other too much, I'm, you know, this great. Is what good radio is. You ebb and you flow.
Bit of you, bit of me, bit of him. The pins arrived, so they'll be going out to the players probably this week. You can, I think probably by now I'll have put something out on Instagram about it. You can see what they look like. We're selling off the remainder, so keep an eye out for that. And Terry, if they can't do all that, what else can they do to help
Well,
you?
Now, if you can't afford...
What's he going to do this week, folks? How is he going to bring it around?
Oh, no, on the spot. No, like, if you can't afford the $5,
you can... Go on. Say the line, Bart.
You can do us the favor of giving us a rating or a review. 5 stars helps us go a long, long way. I'm keeping it...
Are you for real? The one time I hype you up and this is what you give me.
Yes, indeed. You know what? It takes 2 minutes, just a little blurb saying, you know, Andy.
Andy's great. Terry, you know, Terry types on his keyboard too much on the mic.
You do. You're forever typing on the keyboard. You're literally like, hold on, let me look this up.
Yeah, I'm upfront about it. You're a sly typer, Terry. Oh. You're a sly match watcher as well. I see it lighting up right there in your face right there. You think I don't see that?
You know what that is? That's my Audacity track, you motherfucker. Yeah,
you have got some Audacity from watching the match.
The ball's on you, huh? Calling me out live to tape. Unbelievable.
Mugging me off in front of my pals.
Yeah. No, a rating and review really helps grow the podcast. Gets us back in the charts and back, well, it puts you back in our hearts. Mm-hmm. How about that?
I like it.
Yeah, I like me too. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. This is the base level of how you can help us.
Yeah, I feel like I should start by thanking them for listening and then plug all the other shit. But
I want to give one last plug before we finish up is to our friend Dankmus, who, you know, gives us use of our theme song. I should really be saying it at every episode. Every other episode I'm remembering. So
we should just do a recording like we do. We want you to tell us what you think. We should just have the same, just one of those that we record, just stick it in.
Thank you, Dankmus.
Thank you, Dankmus.
Listen to his stuff on Spotify, YouTube. It's all very good. He takes stuff from The Simpsons and mixes them into kind of dancey tracks or lo-fi stuff.
It was the best of times.
Anyway, the one for
you really can't do it.
The one for yes is my friend.
Oh yeah. So all good stuff going on there. Yeah. And folks, listen, we hope you're staying well. We hope you're staying safe. More importantly, maybe not more importantly, but we hope you're staying sane as well.
That's pretty important. Sane, safe.
Yes.
You know, go hand in hand these days.
Lord knows I'm losing my mind. So.
And your hair.
I'm shaving my head again.
What? There's nothing there. Are you going completely like?
No, I'm shaving it back to what it was like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I like
Andy.
Like the
there's nothing there.
What are you talking about? There is. Look at that.
You can't even pick it up with your hands.
No, but you know,
you're fucking mental.
Yeah. Well. Whatever. It's lockdown, isn't it? Rules. All bets are off.
No, you go the other way. Look at this.
Yeah, that's great, but no, I don't have the hairline. See the way your hairline is straight right across.
The
Mine
volume.
Isn't. I've got the...
You, I think you should put
a
short
hair
of this up on our Instagram or something and ask the people, should you shave your head?
No way. They're not living with it. I'm living with it. I'd love to have... Do you think I wouldn't love to pull off long hair? I've been on the cusp my last 2 haircuts and I gave up and I said, no, fuck it, get rid of it. Do you think I don't
Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week.